In our calendar, we are celebrating today as the auspicious appearance day of Lord Mahadev, Lord Shiva. Most of India celebrated yesterday, but somewhere in our universe, it's today. Because in this calendar situation, often you have conflicting days. There's the Vaishnava calendar, which is made by the Vaishnavas. Then there's the Smarta calendar, which is made by Smarta, Karmakandya, Brahmanas. And usually the government of India, they're being advised by Karmakanda Brahmins, not by Vaishnavas. So they choose their holidays based on the Smarta calculation or the Smarta calendar. So often at times there's a variance. So in this particular purport, and many places throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories and position and identity and pastimes of Lord Shiva are recounted. In order for us to understand the position of Lord Shiva, these stories are there in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 4th canto, 5th canto. Throughout the Bhagavatam, there are different pastimes about Lord Shiva and his various incarnations. In this verse, Prabhupada is talking about the Mahatattva and the Chaturvyuha. And in the purport, he's explaining that if we want pure consciousness, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Vasudeva is everything. So if we want to attain pure consciousness, Shuddha Chit, then we worship Vasudeva, the Vasudeva expansion of Balaram. And if we want to control our mind, then we worship Aniruddha. And if we want to control the false ego, he says we worship Sankarshan. So of course, by chanting Hare Krishna and worshiping Radha and Krishna, we're accomplishing all this. Because Krishna is a Sarva Avatari. He's a Paratattva. He's the supreme expression of the Absolute Truth. He contains within him all the avatars, all the expansions. But being Lord Shiva's appearance day, we can appreciate Prabhupada's language. He says that if one wants to get free from false ego, he can worship Lord Shiva. And many Indian people, they come from a strong tradition of worshipping Lord Shiva, Ashutosh. Because Ashutosh is easily pleased. Therefore, we approach him to get the things that will make us happy. Sense gratification, money, power, position, distinction, janam dehi, janam dehi. And, as we mentioned last night in the auditorium, the young girls, they worship the Kanyakumaris, they worship Lord Shiva to get good husbands. And once they're married, they worship Lord Shiva to give their husband lots of money. Or they worship Lord Shiva to help their children pass their exams and get to America so they can earn a lot of money and support the mother and father in their old age. So in various ways they worship Lord Shiva. But they miss the point. Because they're worshiping Lord Shiva from the platform of ignorance. They are in ignorance. They are attached to the body. They are thinking, I am the body, I am woman, I am man, I am poor, I am rich, I am in need. So they worship Lord Shiva. They're completely covered by hankar, false ego. They're completely covered by the hankar. And they're worshiping Lord Shiva, and he's giving them rewards and gifts which increase their hankar. Hankar means the bodily conception of life. Sense gratification, physical pleasure, sense enjoyment. So they're worshipping Lord Shiva, give me sense pleasure. Satisfy my body, satisfy my senses, satisfy my family. And when they get those things from Lord Shiva, they say, oh, he's a very good god. We have so many gods in the Hinduism. We have so many gods, but Lord Shiva, he's a good god. He's very good. He's been very good to me. I built a very big temple for him. I do big seva in Kedarnath every year. Lord Shiva is blessing me. He's blessing me. Look, I have this huge house in Greater Kailash. have this big car, so much money. Oh, Mahadev, Om Namo Shivaya, Om Namo Shivaya. Shankar Bhagavan, Shankar. So what is this blessing? This blessing is a curse. He's cursing them because they're stuck in a bodily concept of life. They're stuck in the cycle of birth and death. Is that Shiva's kripa? That he keeps you stuck in a cycle of birth and death? But the foolish people are thinking, oh, very good God. Lord Shiva is a very good God. This Krishna, I don't know, this Krishna I don't like. He's a tricky fellow. He's very tricky, very clever. He's Vidagda. He's Vidagda Madhav, Vidagda Madhav. He's very clever and tricky. You can't trust him. He says one thing, he does another thing, and he goes here and there. And I see people worship him, they lose everything. Yes. If you approach Krishna, hey Krishna Sharanam Mama, hey Krishna Sharanam Mama, I surrender to you. As the Vallabhas say in Gujarat, Sri Krishna Sharanam Mama. It's explained in Brahma Samhita by Lord Brahma that when Vishnu wants to contact one of his energies, he has to take a particular form. When Vishnu or Krishna, Ram or Swayam Bhagavan, the Absolute Truth, is contacting the spiritual energy, he takes a spiritual form. But when he wants to contact his Bahir Anga Shakti, or his material energy, then Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he adopts a proper form. Because Krishna, he never contacts the material energy in his own transcendental form. So Brahmaji explains that when Vishnu wants to contact the material energy, he transforms himself into Lord Shiva. And the analogy given in the Brahma Samhita, when you take milk and you want to prepare dahi, you have to add an adulterating agent, some agent which will turn the milk into curd, lemon juice or whey, or some water from dahi pani, and you mix that with the boiling milk, and then you wait a few hours and you get yogurt or dahi. So Vishnu is the milk. He's Kheer Sagar. He's sleeping on the milk ocean. Shiradakshay Vishnu. So when Vishnu wants to contact the material energy, then he transforms the milk into yogurt. That transformation of Vishnu is called Shiva. That's why Lord Shiva is not referred to as a Jiva or as Bhagavan. He's in between. One truth is called Jiva Tattva. We are Jiva. We are living entities. And we are truth. Tattva means substance or truth or value. And Krishna, Bhagavan, is the absolute truth. And he's known as Vishnu Tattva. But then Shiva is not Vishnu Tattva, he's not Bhagavan, and he's not Jiva Tattva, but he's Shiva Tattva. So just as yogurt is nothing but milk transformed, so you can, in one sense, yogurt is milk, but it's not milk, because it can't perform the functions of milk. Yogurt is limited, it's only yogurt. But milk can be milk, which is called Amrit. Or milk can become dahi, or kheer, or rubri, or so many things. So Vishnu can do so many things. Vishnu Tattva is so unlimited. But Shiva Tattva, being yogurt, or being fixed in its position, has a limited range of activities. Throughout the Upanishads and the Puranas, including Bhagavad Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see many pastimes involving Lord Shiva and Krishna, or Vishnu. In Rameshwaram, we have the pastime in Treta Yuga of Lord Ram praying to Lord Shiva, the Shiva Linga there, before going to Lanka, because Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. Then in Krishna Lila, in Bhagavad Puran, you have the pastime of Banasura. Banasura, he was a very powerful king. And somehow or other, although anatomically it seems rather perplexing, but somehow or other, he had 1,000 arms. We have two, Dui Bhuj, but he was Sahasra Bhuj, 1,000 arms. And one time, he started playing a drum. He was playing some drums, dundubi, or mridanga, dolak, some type of drums he was playing. And when Lord Shiva heard the drum playing, he was very, very satisfied. He was very happy. He was santosh. He's Asutosh and santosh. This time he was very happy, very pleased, santosh. And being very happy, Shiva started dancing his tandava nritya, his joyful dance that usually he dances at the time of destruction. So being very pleased by the drumming of Banasura, Lord Shiva asked Banasura, "What can I do for you? Do you want any benediction or boon?" And Banasura said, "My Lord, if I have your darshan every day, that would be my only desire." Lord Shiva agreed to live in the kingdom of Banasura in one form. So Lord Shiva was living there. And somehow or other, in the way of life, the daughter of Banasura, Usha fell in love with the son of Pradyumna. Pradyumna was the son of Krishna in Dwarka. And Pradyumna's son's name was Aniruddha. And Usha, she used to have dreams at night as a young girl, teenage girl, living in the palace of her father, Manasura. And she was seeing this beautiful, handsome prince. And she was having very intimate affairs with him in her dreams. And one time she woke up in the middle of the night and she's saying, "Oh, don't leave me, don't leave me. Where are you going? Don't leave." And then all of her maidservants, the younger girls that were attending to her because she's a princess, they were saying, "Aha, who are you talking about? Who are you dreaming about? Who is this you don't want to leave and don't want to leave you? Don't, please stay with me. Don't leave me. Don't break my heart," she was saying. And Usha, she said, "Never mind." But she called one of her confidants, Chitraleka. And she said, "Chitraleka, you are a Kechari." Kechari means like a mystic, like a female tantric, yogini, or a Kechari also. Kechari means one who moves through the cave. One who flies through the sky is a Kechari. Sometimes in English they say a witch, if you know what that means, Kechari. Let me say, she's moving like Brahmachari, moving through Brahman. She's a Kechari. At any rate, Usha called for Chitraleka. Of course, Chitra means drawing. She was very expert at drawing pictures. And she described the man of her dreams. Usha described the man and the beautiful, handsome prince that she was dreaming on every night. Although she was a Kumari, Kanya, Kumari. She was a virgin girl, princess, living in the palace, never had associated with any men. She was strictly guarded by all the palace guards because her father wanted to protect her. But somehow or other, she had fallen in love with this person. So Chitraleka started drawings of all the handsome princesses in the area, and showing them to Usha. And she said, "No, not this one, not this one, not this one." Then she drew a picture of Aniruddha. And when she saw Aniruddha, "Oh, yeah, who is this? This is the one. This looks just like the man of my dreams." And then Chitraleka said, "Oh, that is that person, Aniruddha, he is like Kandarpa personified. He's like Cupid himself. Because he's the son of Cupid. He's the son of Pradyumna. He's one of the most handsome men in the whole universe, Aniruddha." And then, certainly you have good taste. Chitraleka was commending Usha for having good taste, having chosen Aniruddha as her dream lover. And then she said, "Chitra, is there any way that you can bring this person?" And Chitraleka said, "Yes, I have the power. I have the power. I can bring him." So she said, "Well then, quick to it. Hurry up." Jaldi karo. So then she went through the airways, and she went to Dwarka, and she met Aniruddha, and she took Aniruddha by mystic power. She transported Aniruddha from Dwarka all the way to the palace of Banasura. Anyway, to make a long story short, Banasura found out that his daughter was living with Aniruddha. Because after 8 or 9 months, there was obvious signs that his daughter was pregnant. And the maidservants reported this to Banasura. This is all in Bhagavat Puran, Srimad Bhagavatam. So Banasura became incensed, became very angry, and immediately he tied up, he went into the bedroom, he said, "What?" And Aniruddha was just sitting there playing chess. He was just playing chess on the bed with Usha, as if nothing's wrong. It's just nothing's wrong. He wasn't married to her. He just moved into her room, lived there, secretly and privately. So then Banasura tied him up. Then Krishna and Balaram heard about it, and then they attacked the city of Shonitapura. Shonitapura, the kingdom of Banasura. So when Banasura was attacked, then naturally his son and all of his soldiers went out to fight. Krishna and Balaram and Satyaki and Samba and Pradyumna. They were fighting on Krishna's behalf in order to liberate their son. His grandson, Krishna's grandson, the son of Pradyumna, was imprisoned by Banasura. So of course Shiva came out to fight on behalf of Banasura. So who did Shiva fight against? Shiva fought against Lord Krishna. Shiva fought on the behalf of Banasura against Lord Krishna. And Balaram fought with, Pradyumna fought with Kartikeya, and Balaram fought with, all the different ones were fighting with different ones. So Krishna's army was winning like anything. So when Krishna was fighting with Lord Shiva hurled his weapon at him, the Pashupat Astra. Pashupat Astra. Just like in Nepal, in Kathmandu, we have Pashupat, or Pashupatinath, the lord of the animals, or the lord of the creatures. It's a form of Lord Shiva. So he threw his Pashupat Astra at Krishna, and Krishna retaliated with his Narayan Astra. So it was a draw, a match. And then Lord Shiva was throwing some other weapons. So Krishna threw a Jimbrandana, which means yawning, a yawning weapon. So he threw this weapon at Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva was sitting on the back of Nandi. In English it's called yawning. Yawning means you're falling asleep. Like when Krishna was not fighting anyone, and the whole army of Banasura was being completely emaciated and defeated by Krishna's army, then Banasura left his fighting. He was fighting with Satyaki. He was fighting with Satyaki, and he ran across the battlefield to fight with Krishna. And then Krishna defeated him, and he disappeared from the battlefield. And then Lord Shiva woke up again, and Lord Shiva sent his ultimate weapon, Shiva Dwara. Shiva Dwara is like the Brahmastra of Lord Shiva. Shiva Dwara was a personified heat weapon, intense heat, just like an atomic bomb. Atomic bomb releases incredible heat energy. So Lord Shiva released his Shiva Dwara. I think Dwara means heat, the word Dwara. Shiva Dwara, and it was personified as a huge demon, grotesque, ugly demon, with three legs and three heads, and three eyes in each head, and some kind of monster. And he was racing, a huge towering form, racing across the battlefield, burning up everything in sight, burning up all the trees and land and animals and everything in its pathway, and running towards Krishna, and to annihilate Krishna. So then Krishna retaliated with his Vishnu Dwara. Vishnu Dwara is also a heat weapon, but it's so hot that it appears cooling. It appears cooling, just like we have in this world the phenomenon of dry ice. There's something called dry ice that they use in theater and other places, which is it's a super cold type of gas or ice. It's 212 degrees centigrade, minus minus 200 degrees centigrade, very, very cold, and it gives off a vapor, clouds of smoke, which they use for stage and drama, dry ice. So it feels cooling, but it's actually very hot. It's a very, very hot thing. You'll burn if you touch it. So Krishna released his Vishnu Jwara, and the Vishnu Jwara fought with the Shiva Jwara and defeated it. And the Shiva Jwara started offering so many prayers. Please forgive me. I surrender to you, Krishna. Don't destroy me. So this is a pastime where Shiva and Krishna were fighting in the Bhagavad Puran. And then Lord Shiva came and offered Vandanam, prayers to Lord Krishna. Said, Krishna, please. Because later Vanasura came back to fight with Krishna, and Krishna was cutting off all his 1,000 arms with his chakra. Then Shiva petitioned Lord Krishna. He begged him. He said, please, Krishna, don't kill Vanasura. He's coming in the family of Prahlad Maharaj, because he's in the same dynasty, a descendant of Prahlad Maharaj from Satyuga. So the promise was given to Prahlad Maharaj by Nrisingadev that he would never kill any of his relatives. So then Shiva reminded him, remember, you said you wouldn't kill, and Vanasura is related to Prahlad Maharaj, great-great, you know, grandson over a long period. So that's one pastime. Then there's another pastime, because Shiva is known as Ashutosh. That's why he's one of the most popular deities in India, because everybody wants something. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha. Kam means desire, lust. Everyone has so many material desires. They want money, dhanam dehi, janam dehi. They want money, followers, position, kamani, pratishta, lobh, puja. So on their own, maybe we can't get it. But if we worship a big person, a powerful person, maybe he can give me a big, gives off a vapor, cloud, a portion of money, a few crores, or a good position. So Lord Shiva is a very big person. So many people worship Lord Shiva, all for materialistic reasons, all for selfish reasons. So there was one such person doing his Shiva puja, fasting every Monday, and going to the mandir and offering bilvapatra and dahi and kunkum and rice and doing puja and Shiva stotram and so many things. And he was begging Lord Shiva. He wanted power. I want power. I want to control the world. I want to be the biggest, most powerful demon in the whole world. I want so much power that if I just touch somebody with my finger, they will die. They will crack in half. Just by touching them with my finger, their head will crack and fall off their head. This power I want. So who was that? So he was very religiously, every Monday he fasted, just like you meet people. Oh, would you like some prasadam? Oh no, it's Monday, I'm fasting. I'm fasting for Lord Shiva. You're not fasting for Lord Shiva. You're fasting for your sense gratification. You're fasting on Monday, not for Lord Shiva, not to please Lord Shiva, but to please yourself, because you want sense gratification, you want benefit, you want money, you want power. So this person was the same way, and he was taking advantage of the soft side of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is known as Bolare Baba, or he's known as Ashutosh. He's very easily satisfied. So, oh good, he's easily satisfied. Just a little bilvapatra, a little puja, a little fasting, and I'll get wealth, riches, power. Yes, I need these things. I want these things. Oh, Shiva, please. So people go. Every Monday, they go and they beg for these things. So much then they go to Kedarnath and they so much tapasya. All for selfish reasons, all because of kam and krodh, lust and greed, lobe, kam and lobe, lust and greed. So this person, his name is Brikasura. Brikasura in Bhagavad Puran, the story is there. So he did so much tapasya, he was cutting his flesh, he was having homa, every day he was having daily jagya. He was cutting flesh off his body, his skin, and offering it. Swaha om namo shivaya, swaha om namo shivaya, swaha. And no response. Ashutosh was silent. He was not replying. He was not fulfilling his desires, not giving him the power he wanted. Then finally he said, all right, if I'm offering pieces of my flesh, but now I'll offer my head. I'm so determined to get this power, I'm so lusty to get this enjoyment and this position, that I'm willing to give everything, even my own head. So he took his knife and he starts cutting his neck over the fire, the sacrificial fire. And Parvati, seeing this, she said, Mahadev, oh Shankar, look at your devotee. He's about to kill himself. He's about to annihilate himself. He's so determined. Please fulfill his desire. So Lord Shiva went there and said, oh, what do you want? Brikasura said, I want the power that whoever I touch with my fingertip, their head will crack in half. So Lord Shiva, being very karuna and compassionate, he said, yes, all right, you take that power. So, then what did Brikasura do with the power? He said, ha, now I have the power. I can kill anyone. So the first one I'm going to kill is you. And then I will be the Mahadev. Mahadev. You'll be finished with my finger. So then what did Lord Shiva do? Horrible. He started running. He started running and running. Hey, Haribo, Haribo. And Brikasura says, wait. Let me touch your head. Like people want to touch your feet all the time if you're a sadhu. Oh, Swamiji, let me touch your feet. Let me give you some bad karma. So he wanted to touch his head and crack his head. So Lord Shiva ran and ran, and then he said, hey Bhagavan, hey Sankarshan, hey Sankarshan, hey Ram, hey Ram, hey Ram. Why did he say, hey Ram, hey Ram, hey Ram? Because Lord Shiva is a devotee of Lord Sankarshan. And Lord Sankarshan's mantra is Hey Ram, Hey Ram. So the mantra that's chanted by Lord Shiva on his Rudraksha beads is Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. No Krishna, but this Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. He's sometimes known as Shankar, but he's a devotee of Sankarshan. And Sankarshan is Chaturvyuha. Chaturvyuha means the expansions from Balaram. And Balaram expands from Krishna. So he's worshipping a form of Krishna. So he says, Hey Ram, Hey Ram, Hey Ram, Sharanagati Prabhu, Sharanagati, I surrender, oh Prabhu, help me, help, 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 help. So the Lord, Krishna, never, never, ever forsakes his devotee. If one is a devotee and he's calling out in a perilous situation, he's crying out, oh my Lord, Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti, oh Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. If he's crying out like Draupadi cried out like this, Dushasan is pulling the sari, then when Draupadi threw both arms overhead, Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti, she cried like this. And when Akrura came to Nandagaon to take Krishna to Mathura for the Dhanurjagya, the wrestling, there was some wrestling arena there. And the gopis found out in the morning that Akrura was taking Krishna from Vrindavan. Moreover, taking Krishna, ripping Krishna from their hearts. Taking him out of Vrindavan, so they ran down there. They ran from Barsana, then they ran from Yavat and Chitsoli and all the villages, and they ran to Nandagaon. When the news spread throughout the villages, Krishna's leaving, Krishna's leaving, Krishna's leaving. And they ran there, and then they were standing there with folded hands, and all the senior people were there. Nanda Baba, Yashoda, Rohini, everyone was there. All the different people were there. Srinam Subal, all the coward boys were there. And Upananda and Abhinanda and Sunanda, the brothers of Nanda Maharaj, and Brishabhanu Maharaj and Subhanu and all Banu Maharaj, Brishabhanu Maharaj's brothers were there. And the gopis were like, their hearts were burning in separation. Viraha Bhav, Vipralamba Bhav, the anticipation of this separation from their beloved Shyam. But they were containing themselves because of the setting. They were surrounded by all these seniors and older people of the village. They could not reveal their secret love for Krishna. They could not reveal the intensity of their love. And so they watched Krishna and Balaram came out of Nandagaon, and they walked down the hill. And they were all the gopis, everyone was gathered around the chariot to bid farewell to Krishna. And then when Krishna mounted the chariot and there were only a few seconds left, then the gopis broke down. They couldn't restrain themselves anymore. They broke down and they ran, and some gopis fell in front of the chariot and they lay down in front of the chariot, and some gopis grabbed the reins of the horses, and some gopis were pulling on Krishna's dhoti. And they just, in other words, they totally revealed the love that they had for Krishna. They expressed publicly and very seemingly indecent and you can say improper behavior. They were just showing how much they were attached to Krishna. And everybody was standing there saying, what are they doing? What are they doing? And then at that moment, when there was nothing else, they saw there was nothing, they were trying to hold the horses, and still Akrura was about to move with the horses, then all the gopis started crying out. Because they were silent, although they were expressing their heart with their bodily movements. They had not mentioned anything. Then when their hearts were cracking in anxiety, then they all cried out, Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. The same three words, Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. So then Krishna, his heart melted in compassion and love for the gopis. So then he reassured them. He spoke to them. He said, listen, I will come back very soon. Please, I promise you I'll come back very soon. So Krishna did come back. And that's another story. But Lord Shiva, when he called out for his beloved Lord, his Lord did not forsake him. And he chanted Hari Ram. So then Ram came there in the form of a beautiful boy. A beautiful boy. His name was Gopal. He's beautiful, blue complexion, like Ghanasham, like a blue rain cloud, lotus petal eyes, and beautiful sparkling white teeth, and very, very attractive. And he was just walking along the path. And Brikasura was mad, this demon Brikasura was madly chasing Lord Shiva to crack his head. And then Gopal was there and said, sir, excuse me, where are you going? And when Brikasura, when he saw the tender, sweet beauty of this young boy, he was captivated. He was enthralled. He was totally astonished by the beautiful face and form of this young boy. So he was a little bit mystified. He just kind of forgot his mission for a moment. And he looked at the boy. Then Gopal said, what are you doing? Where are you racing so fast down the path? He said, oh, I have this special power. I can crack any... Shiva gave me this power that I can crack anyone's head that I touch. And then Gopal said, what? Do you believe that? You know, Lord, don't you know the nature of Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva's always tricking people and telling people one thing. And that's not true. Don't believe that. Don't believe Lord Shiva. He wouldn't do that. But Lord Shiva has a loving relationship with Krishna as a loving servant. So when Krishna was having his Vrindavan Leela, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, Lord Chandra, all the devatas, all the demigods, and all the wives of the demigods, they were immensely attracted to the sweet beauty of Krishna's pastimes. Especially the quintessence of all his pastimes expressed in the form of Rasa-lila. On the full moon night of the Sharad season, on the banks of Yamuna, Yamunapulin, at Banshivat, Krishna leans against the banyan tree, and he presses the Vamshi to his sweet leaf-like lips. His lips are soft like newly furled, unfurled leaves. They're very soft and tender. And they're very red. Krishna doesn't use any lipstick or anything like that. But his lips are red like pomegranate or bimba fruit. They're very naturally red and very attractive. So he starts playing his flute and sending beautiful music through his flute, Muralidhar. Krishna has different flutes, but when he's calling the gopis at night, he doesn't play the Venu and he doesn't play the Vamshi. Sometimes we say, Vamshi Dari, Krishna Murari, Toma Bina Dugari. There's one Hindi bhajan. Vamshidhari Krishna Murari. But when he's calling gopis in Vrindavan, he plays Murli. Murli Manohar. Murli is 1 meter long. It's lamba. It's a lamba vamshi. Vams means bamboo. It's a long flute with a deep, deep sound. Very mystifying sound. Like that. Like a coil. So Krishna plays his murali and attracts all the minds and hearts of the gopis and everyone in creation, especially the devatas. So Lord Shiva is in Kailash Dham and he becomes attracted and he comes to Braja, Braja Dham, to this Braj here in this planet, Bhumilok. This is called Boma Vrindavan. Vrindavan manifested here on this planet. Lord Shiva came and he was watching and he wanted to enter the rasa dance. He was so attracted to the sweet jingling of the kinkini mala, the waist bells around the gopis, and their ankle bells were chiming so sweetly in tune with their singing. They were singing and moving their feet in such a way, and their bells, their ankle bells were chiming along with the sound of their voices, and their heads were swaying back and forth, and they were playing various instruments like veena and sarod and tambura and mridanga and kartal and flutes, all of so many beautiful instruments. And he loves music. Lord Shiva loves music, as you know. He loves to dance. So he came there and he started marching into the Ras Mandala. He wanted to see, he wanted to take part. He's very enthusiastic. And that's a good quality. Won't you be enthusiastic to take part in Krishna's pastimes? Won't you be enthusiastic to chant Hare Krishna and serve Krishna? Chanaka Pandit says in Niti Shastra, there's two things you should be enthusiastic about. And if you're enthusiastic about in these two departments, you'll be successful. He said you should be enthusiastic in business. Utsaha. Is it? Utsaha. Enthusiasm. If you're enthusiastic in business, you'll make a lot of money. Enthusiastic. Utsaha. And the second category Chanaka mentions in Niti Shastra is eating. You know, kachori, rasgulla, gulab jamun, sabji, puri. Enthusiastically, not like, oh. No, eat with gusto. So you'll be successful if you eat like this. He said like that. So in any endeavor, in Bengal, they have a phrase that our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, used to quote. I can't remember the Bengali, but he said in Bengali they have a phrase that any endeavor done with enthusiasm will meet with Lakshmi. The goddess of fortune will bless one. If you put enthusiasm into your activity, then you'll be blessed with fortune, who is personified by Lakshmi Devi, the divine consort of Lord Narayan. So in the field of spiritual activities or sadhana bhakti, we should also use enthusiasm and be enthusiastic. Enthusiastic for shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, hearing and chanting about Krishna. And if we have that enthusiasm for these activities, darshan, artik, bhajan, pravachan, taking Krishna prasad, then Narayan will bless us. Lakshmi will bless us. Our life will become fortunate. We will become blessed. We will become fortunate. So Lord Shiva, he wanted to enter rasa dance, so he came walking up. And then the sakis, they saw, who is this? And Lalita Sakhi went, hey, stop! Where do you think you're going? And Mahadev said, I'm going to the Ras Mandal. I'm going to take part. He said, no way, nothing doing. This is ladies only, man. This is ladies' night. There's no men here. Besides that, not only are there no men, but there's no Purusha Bhav. Purusha Bhav. Purusha Bhav. Purusha means person. Purusha means man. Purusha means enjoyer. The Bhav. The Bhav. The spirit. The mellow. The attitude. The mindset of enjoying. And the Sakhi said, this kind of bhav is not in this rasa dance. This is the place where you come when you're free from the enjoying spirit. When you're in the mood of selfless service. selfless service. When you have that mode of complete selflessness, then you can enter this rasa dance. You don't have the right bhav, and you don't have the right roop. You have this agni roop, this male form. So feeling very unhappy and very dejected, Lord Shiva went away, and he went to a lonely place, and he was just sitting there, and he was crying, and he was crying out to Sankarshan, "Oh Sankarshan, this is one of your many forms, this is your original form, it's so beautiful and attractive, the all-attractive form of Shyam Sundar Krishna. I want so much to see this rasa dance. Have I no adhikar? Have I no qualification? Have I not done any service? Isn't there any way I can possibly gain entry over there?" So he's praying like this. So the Lord was compassionate on Lord Shiva. So then Brindadevi, one of the confidential sakhi servants of Radharani, she was sent there. She was guided by Chaitya Guru. She was guided by Super Soul. So she went there and she said, Hey Mahadev, why are you so unhappy? Why are you crying? Your face is moistened with tears. You look so unhappy. Have you lost a loved one? Has some calamity occurred in your home? Has some accident happened? Is your wife in danger? Are your children in danger? No, Brindadevi, nothing like that. Then what is wrong? What is wrong? You're always so happy, you're always so dhira and peaceful and content and meditating peacefully. You're the epitome, you're the embodiment and epitome of shanti and self-containment. But now you're totally distraught and full of anguish. Oh, I know. You want to see the rasa dance. All right, well then come with me. So Brindadevi took Mahadev, said, "Come with me, come to this kund and take bath in this kund. This is a very special kund." So this kund is called Brahma Kund, and it's just northeast of the Yoga Peet, the Vrindavan Yoga Peet. So Mahadev took bath there. He submerged himself in those beautiful waters, and when he rose out of those waters, he was now in Sakhi Roop. He was no longer in his male form. He was now in Prakriti Bhav. Prakriti Bhav, the servant, the enjoyed Bhav, the mood of the servant. So then Brindadevi said, "Yes, come. Now come." So they went back. They went back up some short distance to the entrance to Rasastali. Advamshi Bhav and Lalita Sakhi and Vishaka were there, and Asha Sakhis and other Sakhis were there. And Brindadevi says, "Oh, we have a new Sakhi here. A new Sakhi has arrived for Krishna's pleasure to serve Krishna in rasa dance." "Oh yes, well, bring her in. Yeah, right this way." So she went right through the front gate, right inside. And then, looking and seeing all the gopis dancing, and Sham and Radharani, beautiful dancing, Rasalila, very awestruck and satisfied in his heart, Lord Shiva, in disguise as a gopi. And then Krishna, noticing this new gopi from the corner of his eye, Krishna Kripa Kataksha, from the corner of his eye, then Krishna danced over there. He said, Hey, Sakhi, come, dance with me. So then they were dancing. And then Radharani is watching. Who is this new Sakhi? Krishna's paying so much attention to her, and he's neglecting me. So then there's a type of prema that was slowly rising within the type of prema that was slowly rising within the heart of Radharani and starting to manifest its transformations throughout her mind and senses. And that prema, that type of prema is called man prema. It's one of the levels. There's sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav, then adiruddha mahabhav, and then rudha mahabhav. It's very prema is many, many categories, transcendental love. So this is rising up. She was feeling a little bit jealous, a little bit feeling some transcendental jealous anger. And then she said, "Hey, Sham, who is this Sakhi anyway? And then Shah said, oh, this is Gopishvar. This is Gopishvar. And then Radharani said, what? This is Gopishvar. I am Gopishvar. I'm the controller of the gopis. I'm the leader of all the gopis. I'm the best one. I'm the Gopishvara. And she said, no, she's a Gopishvara. And then, of course, Lord Shiva, disguised as a gopi, was feeling, what an appellation. Appellation means a title or name. What an honorific term. What a wonderful name my Lord has given me, Gopishvara. So then Krishna's a slight, gentle smile came on his lotus face, and kind of what we say in English, a sheepish grin, because he was playing a joke on Radharani, and he was enjoying it very much, and she didn't know. And then he looked at her and said, actually, you know who this gopi is? This gopi is Mahadev, in disguise. And so then Shyam said to Mahadev, he said, Mahadev, I'm very pleased with your service. You've done a wonderful service. You're dancing so nicely. Your desire was fulfilled to have a darshan, Rasalila darshan. Now I want you to continue to serve this eternal Leela by posting yourself outside, just on the perimeter, as you are in all of my places, in all my holy dhams, in all my Leela stalis, in Ayodhya dham, and in Barsana, and Vrindavan, and all my holy dhams. You're always there serving as the Digpal. Digpal means the protector of the directions. Kshetrapal. Kshetrapal Mahadev, Digpal Mahadev. So here, in Vrindavan, I want you to serve as Gopishvar at the entrance to the Rasastali. And with your Trishun, I want you to prevent anyone from coming inside that's not qualified. Anyone that tries to barge into Vrindavan or crash into Vrindavan or drive into Vrindavan that has Purusha Bhav, you take your Trishun and you stick them with it. You make sure they go. The Trishun represents the Trigunas. There's three tines. It's called tine. These little points on a pitchfork is called tine. So one is Tamagun, Rajagun, Sattvagun, which are all in the material energy. So Mahadev impales the conditioned soul on that and keeps him bound in the material energy in Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun with his Trishun for the aparadis. So Gopishvara happily accepted that service on behalf of Lord Krishna, and now he's still there. And Krishna's great grandson, who renovated many of the holy sites of Vrindavan shortly after the disappearance of the Lord, about 5,000 years ago or so, his name was Bajranab. Bajranab was the king of Mathura, who was the great-grandson of Lord Krishna. So he dug out many kunds and established many Leela sites. So there, at the exact location where Lord Shiva is posted, he established a deity of Lord Shiva, Gopishvara Mahadev, and wonderfully worshipped by all the Brijavasis. So Lord Shiva had played so many parts in the pastime of Lord Krishna and also in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Just to end on one philosophical note, that although we had mentioned earlier that many materialistic people that are materialistically oriented want material things, they worship Lord Shiva in hopes of gaining his mercy because of his nature as Ashutosh. The Vaishnavas, especially the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they also worship Lord Shiva. But we don't worship Lord Shiva for material benefits. We don't pray to him for material benefits because they're already there. Whatever your destiny is, you'll have so much wealth. Janmaishvarya Shuta Shribir. A certain birth, a certain lifespan, certain beauty, certain intelligence, poverty or fortune, it's already determined. You carry on and do some work, but you can work so hard day and night and you'll still not be a millionaire. Some people don't really work at all and they're Kaurapatis. It's already determined. So devotees, we also, just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had Shiva Lingas installed in several of his temples and they were doing puja there. Lord Chaitanya, of course we'll discuss Lord Chaitanya tomorrow, but he also worshipped Lord Shiva. The six Goswamis worship Lord Shiva. This we'll discuss more tomorrow. But the point is, devotees, Vaishnavas, Gaudiyas, worshippers of Radha and Krishna, they can also worship Lord Shiva. But not for passing our grades, not for getting a good husband, like every Kanya Kumari girl in India goes every Monday to the mandir and does puja. Oh, Mahadev, please bless me with a good husband. And so many girls are worshipping, and so many girls are getting lousy husbands. So is that Lord Shiva's fault? No, it's your destiny. So devotees worship Lord Shiva for his mercy. Because Lord Shiva worships Sankarshan. And Sankarshan is in charge of Hankara. What is binding us and keeping us in this material world is Hankara. That is the subtle body. There's a Shukshma Sharir and Linga Sharir. So the subtle body, the man, mano, mana, man, bud, bud, or we say buddhi, man, bud, and hankara, these are the subtle bodies. And the most refined and subtle and powerful of all those contaminations and layers which cover the soul, there's layers and layers and layers, is the hankara. It's the wrong identity. Ahankara means I am the body. I am man, I am woman, I am rich, poor, beautiful, ugly, intelligent, foolish, I am famous, infamous. This is all hankara. And that keeps us in this world, birth after birth after birth. So Lord Shiva's Ishtadev is Sankarshan, and he's always worshipping him. And Sankarshan is in charge. He is a deity in charge. He is the lord of false ego. So Prabhupada mentions in several purports, in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam and other places, Srila Prabhupada mentions, that if one is serious about getting free from the false ego, then he should pray to Lord Shiva. Why? Because his boss is in charge of the false ego. Just like you want to meet a big man, it's very hard to meet a big man. I want to meet one industrialist in Bombay who has a ghee company, produces cow's ghee. And I had an intuition that he was a good person. And I had the intuition that he could donate ghee for Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan, because I basically stayed there. So I was thinking, we're always having a hard time finding cow's ghee, but here in Bombay they make pure cow's ghee. Not buffalo ghee. Krishna doesn't like buffalo. You may like, but Krishna doesn't like buffalo ghee. He likes gaika ghee. So I went to the office, and his general manager said he's a big, big person. He's very, very wealthy. He never comes to the office. The only way you can communicate with him is on email. I said, wow, he's really big. So I sent him email electronic on the computer. And then he wrote back and said, some letter was there, I said, Kara means, I am also a devotee of Radha and Krishna. And I just built a temple of Radha and Krishna. And I'll be very happy to donate ghee for the service of your deities in Vrindavan. Because I informed him that our deity kitchen, for cooking for the deities, we use 1,200 kilos of ghee every year. Jai ho. Chapan bo ki jai. Krishna ki jai. He's a bhoktaram. Krishna's bhoktaram, not us. He's the enjoyer. So every month, Krishna's using 100 kilos of ghee, kachoris and pakoras and all these fried sabjis, all these things. I wanted to meet him. So he agreed. He said, talk to my general manager. So I talked to the general manager, and finally I made friends with the general manager. I said, is there any way I can meet the owner? So he became my friend. And he said, yes, I'll arrange. So in the same way, the peon arranged for me to meet the big man and get his mercy and favor, because ultimately he sanctioned, he agreed to give 1,200 kilos a year, or at least this year, for Radha Shamasundara in Vrindavan. So that's good. Good for him. So in the same way, Lord Shiva, he is the peon of Sankarshan. He is a servant. He is the servant or the devotee of Lord Sankarshan. And he's easily pleased. So just by offering some bilva patra, or Datura flower, the Datura flower, Datura pushpa, Datura pushpa, or Bilva patra, just simple thing. Datura is growing on all the roadsides, all over the place, an empty lot, Datura. It's like a thorny, bluish kind of thing, flower. It's a weed. It's not gulab or lotus. If you worship Krishna, according to Puranas, you have to worship Krishna with Kamal. Kamal and Padma. He likes that type of thing, lotus flower. Lakshmi is holding one in her hand. So Lord Shiva, he likes this lowly little flower with no smell, and it's a poisonous plant. Datura. It's a poisonous plant. And that's the flower he likes. He likes the fruit of it too, which is all like a cactus with spikes on. And Bilvapatra. So these simple things you offer to him, then he'll be merciful to you and give you introduction to Sankarshan. He'll invoke the blessings of Sankarshan. He will call down the mercy of Sankarshan on your head and in your life. And the result of receiving the mercy of Lord Sankarshan is, through the mercy of the great devotee, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. It's explained in the fourth canto that the greatest of all the Vaishnavas is Shambhu, Sankarshan, Shiva. By invoking the mercy of Lord Sankarshan through the mercy of his devotee, Lord Shiva, we, you, I, and we, will become free from false ego, hankar. And once you cut the connection of hankar, you're mukta jeev, you're a liberated soul. Until you cut the Atma's connection with hankar, you're stuck, bound in samsara chakra. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, anudarshan. Anudarshan, dukkha, dosha, anudarshan. Anudarshan means again you see, and again you see, and again you see. You see death, and again you see death. You see dukkha, and again you see dukkha. You see dosha, and again you see dosha. Krishna says in Gita, Janma Mrityu Dravyadi Dukkha Doshanudarshanam. Anudarshanam. And we have some television show, it's called, what is it called? Duradarshan? Duradarshan. So Krishna is Duradarshan. He's very difficult to see. He's far, far away, and he's also Antardarshan. He's Antaryami. Krishna's Antaryami. He's inside of you, inside of our hearts. But can we see him? So no, he's Duradarshan. He's very far away. What is that distance that's separating us from seeing Krishna? What is that vast desert of distance that's keeping us blinded and keeping Krishna invisible before us, although he's standing within our hearts? Hankar. So therefore, Lord Shiva plays a very essential and key role in the lives of progressive sadhakas. Once they understand the ontology and the tattva, Shiva Tattva. Hare Krishna.